The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Dark Side of the Pooch, Dr. Rab Stewart on the left-hand side of the screen here on our YouTube channel and wherever you find in your favorite podcast. I guess he'd be on the left side of your speakers, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. He's in stereo. Rossburg General Hospital is the place he owns. He does a fantastic job. And, of course, this is a show that's about a $13 billion industry of pet care and pets, period. We've talked about everything from, I had several emails, as a matter of fact, from last week about rabbits. People are like, are you serious about the rabbits? We had mentioned that within the next 5 to 10 years, rabbits are supposed to take over cats as the second most prized pet in the household. You believe it?
I believe it. We're rabid for rabbits.
You know what was it? What is the strangest? Because I mean, listen, you take care of cats and dogs primarily, but you have taken care of horses and giraffes. What is the what would you say is the strangest pet forum we've had since you've been in business? I mean, I saw someone. You ever watch Stupid Pet Tricks? It's that new show with Sarah Silverman on TBS. I was watching because they've been running a lot of commercials during March Madness, and it's a ripoff, of course, of the David Letterman Stupid Pet Tricks thing he used to do. And it's so weird that it's actually kind of entertaining. But it's pets from around the country. They bring on. They had a camel on there last night. Do the limbo. And of course, someone rings on her pet pig and, you're talking, you know, 450 pounds. And it wasn't one of these baby pigs. It was like a full grown pig that she actually had, living in her house. And she's like, does it sleep with you? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, good luck with dates. She's like, yeah, I don't care. It's my pig. I love the pig, yeah, but they're domesticated and it doesn't poop or pee inside. She goes, it smells just as good as any dog I've ever had. But can you think of any other animals? Because we're always trying to find some type of weird. Ferrets were big for a while. My brother had a ferret. I think that in the 70s, the ferret craze was kind of big. I know some people have gotten some skunks. I know brown skunks or bearded dragons are big. They're kind of big snakes.
So, you know, I think ferrets and slinkies, I think they were popular at the same time because they look exactly the same and they act exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Try to hold one and it just rolls down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of people that have, you know, these small kind of pocket pets, chinchillas.
Chinchillas are big.
Have you had a chinchilla?
They got chinchillas down at Ed's Pet World. By the way, Ed's Pet World brings you Dark Side of the Pooch every single week down there, 50 years in the business, exotic pets. That's the kind of stuff they got. They got hedgehogs. Hedgehogs are my son had a pet hedgehog, remember, for about 6 or 7 years. Chinchillas are big. Sugar gliders are a big thing.
Chinchillas, they take dirt baths.
They do.
Yeah, you have to buy the special like dust.
Yeah, I think I'm always pulled between having a pet that's not rat-like. I don't want a pet that looks like a rat. I don't need a rat-looking thing.
I have an employee that has several rats.
Yeah, I'm not saying pet rats are bad.
No,
I'm just saying if I'm gonna get a cool pet, I'm not gonna get a rat. I'm not gonna get something that I could, you know, any given night could crawl across my kitchen floor on its own. But you know, I'm going to get something kind of cool, but something I could actually hold and cuddle yet won't like go crazy. Like, I think that's why I'm liking my guinea pigs. And I think hamsters are really cool because you can actually like tame hamsters or guinea pigs to chill out. They're not all like squirrels. You know what I mean? They don't like this flying around. You can actually get one and it'll actually just lay on your chest and chill out. And I think people are always, they're always torn between having that thing where they want to get it out and they want to pet it and they want it to be part of the family. And then something that they can just put in a cage for 3 days and go on vacation. Not have to worry about it dying.
I don't want something that has to be exterminated. You know, like I don't want something that is also on a list to be exterminated, like rats or spiders. I know you have a snake, so I'm going to tread lightly here. I don't want a snake.
Yeah.
You know, anything that I have to call Mr. Bugs in. I don't want. I mean, I don't want a tarantula.
Yeah.
I think crawling across my face, because what if I mistake it for a large wolf spider and I grab it and stomp on it?
That'd be something. A big ass wolf spider, by the way. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, yeah. I mean, there are some pets that are just kind of cool to look at, and they're not really, I think that's where the line.
That's why we have a zoo.
Yeah. That's where the line is drawn. Like my snake, I got my snake for my kids, and I did it because I didn't want my kids to be afraid of snakes. And it's been really neat because I got neighbors who love it. And we do get it out like once a week. Once a week, we put it in the front yard and we just let it go and let's see where it goes. And it's pretty cool. It's amazing. Snakes will find holes. You will not see a hole anywhere in your yard. And a snake will find, next thing you know, half of it's gone. But I mean, your whole idea, like geckos, like bearded dragons. I don't really, I know kids were into the dragon thing for a while, the bearded thing, well, we had one on our ABC television show, and I did one with Seth from Med's Pet World. But it's not like you can pet it. You can't really enjoy it. It doesn't really do anything. It's not responsive as a pet. It doesn't show any emotions. It doesn't squeal if you step on its tail. You know, I want something that's going to, you know, it's gonna have to be a pet. It needs to give you some emotional support.
You need to be able to have experiences with it.
Yeah. So,
you know, you can have an experience with a dog. You can have an experience with a cat. You can go on an adventure with a dog and a cat. Take it outside.
And a rabbit.
Whatever. Like, a rabbit too. What kind of experience are you going to have? And I would love for some of our listeners to write in and tell me, prove me wrong, what kind of experience you can have with a reptile, unless you have one of these giant tortoises that you can walk around town. I've seen one of these things. I've seen somebody with one of these things in China, and it's like as big as the turtles that we have at the zoo. And he takes it out and walks it down the street. You know, okay.
How long does that take?
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. Hey, it's faster than the hair.
Was he start on Tuesday?
Faster than these bunnies we're talking about. You know that story?
Starts on Tuesday. This is my podcast. Will be done Saturday.
But, you know, maybe the adventure with the reptile is taking it out and meeting people with it. Maybe it's
I do think that's a big part of it. I think it's, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Having my snake is kind of cool. And it's cool telling people I have a snake and freaking people out. I'm just surprised by how many people are freaked out by snakes. That is absolutely, oh my gosh. I remember when I sold my house, my realtor would not show my house unless I put the snake up. I'm like, where do you want me to put the snake up? She goes, I don't know. Put it in a closet or something. Put it somewhere where I don't know where it is. I'm not coming in your house with it. I said, it's a rock. It's a cage. It's not getting out. It sits there. Even if it was hungry, it wouldn't come find you. If it thought you were a giant rat. Yeah.
Put your hungry snake away.
I mean, seriously, it's like, I just don't get that. But I mean, she was almost phobic to an extent that, you know, she was like, I'm not going to show your house off with your giant snake out. Okay.
Done. All right. I'll put the giant snake away and then no one will see
that. But that being said, I'm not so sure I would be too crazy about a woman who would want to come back to my house to see my snake. I mean, if I was out somewhere and a woman said, you have a snake? Cool. Let's go back and see it. I'd think two things. First of all, she's just saying that because she really thinks I'm hot. She wants to come back to my house, which is not happening. Or B, she's a freak. She's a goth freak and she's into snakes and like things being pierced that ain't supposed to be pierced. And that, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? And then that would probably, because I'm not sure I would be too crazy about a woman. That's kind of funny I should say that, because I don't think I'd date a woman who likes snakes.
I mean, I will say that there's always an exception to the rule. So my brother-in-law, he had a snake. And so my wife grew up around this snake. And I don't think that my wife would ever, okay, let me say this. If I wanted a pet snake, she would be fine with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that there are people out there that are interested and curious and would be fine with it if they have a little bit of experience with it. Like your daughter, Lila, I'm sure that at some point she's going to down the road get married and she's going to say, yeah, snakes are cool. I have one growing up and it's going to be no problem. She's the exception to the rule.
Yeah, she is. She, in so many different ways. Now I'm with you. And as a parent, and we're both parents, I know there's a lot of parents who listen to the show. Yeah, there's some animals that you just kind of do, like the hedgehog. my son loved that hedgehog, but he didn't really love that hedgehog. I mean, it was nocturnal. We never saw it. You know, we'd get it out maybe once a month. You know,
it was a sideshow.
Yeah, it was a sideshow to make this little wheezing sound. It was kind of cool. And we showed off, you know, when someone came over to the house, maybe even like once every 2 or 3 months, we'd get the hedgehog out. He never cleaned the cage. You know, hermit crabs. We did a hermit crab thing for like about a week and they're a half. Dead. Yeah, they're dead. Like they stink. Dead. They smell really bad when they die. But I told you, my next door neighbor now, she's got like 6 dogs and 7 cats, but she's had a pet praying mantis for like the last 4 months. Yeah. She actually goes out every night and finds bugs and grubs and stuff to feed this praying mantis now, but she's a little weird. And she listens to this show. I know she's listening right now and she's like, Tony, I can't believe it. Renee, you're a little off. You're a little strange. You're a little wacko because people don't have pet praying mantises.
I bet that it's really fascinating to watch that praying mantis catch and eat its food, though.
Yeah, well, they eat their own.
Yeah.
I mean, the female eats the male. They have sex, and the male goes, I hope it was good for you, because see you later. And then she just eats them.
It's like Black Widows. Yeah. Same thing.
I don't know.
The insect world. Yeah. I mean, the insect world is very strange.
Do you think that, because it's weird, because we're always trying new and exciting things. And just when you think that there's no way we could have like Beyonce, the Christmas song, you know, All I Want for Christmas Is You. That is,
that's Mariah Carey.
I know. And if it's not the biggest Christmas song of all time, it's really, really close. But if you told me 25 years ago, there's going to be another Christmas song, because we didn't have new Christmas songs, like new Christmas songs for like 30 years. It was just the same stuff over and over and over again. And you know, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, you could say, okay, that was really kind of a hit. It was so stupid that people liked it. It was funny, but it wasn't really a hit. But if you told me right now that in 2030, there's going to be a Christmas song that is going to be played more than any other Christmas song in the history of the world, I'd say you're crazy. There's no way, because there's no way you could have a new Christmas song that's going to be a hit. And she did it. So I'm trying to think to myself, is there a new animal or a pet that we could domesticate that would be like the new thing, like a Cotamundi?
Did you, I don't know the answer to that, but did you see how we have the technology to bring back a woolly mammoth?
Yeah, they're working on it.
Did that story cross your desk?
Yeah, they're working on it. And they're still years off. They're about 10, 15 years off from making it happen. And it all came from the permafrost. I mean, they're thinking that because there's so many live, because they're also going to do it with that, Tasmanian Jekyll or whatever. There's some stripe, something or other that they're bringing back that just went extinct like a couple of years ago. And so they're going to bring that back. And they're also want to do a saber-toothed tiger. I'm like, be careful, dude.
See, these are the new things. This is what's going to happen. It's not, we're not going to just like find something that's never been domesticated. We're going to bring some crazy animal back. And that's going to be the new thing. But I mean, if you look, I feel like if you look back in science fiction, in that whole genre, if you go back like, I don't know, 30, 40 years or whatever, a lot of that stuff has happened now. And it's like people dream this stuff up. You dream Jurassic Park up in the early 90s.
See, and I'm almost surprised. But if you really believe that, where is it? It's kind of like,
I don't believe it, but we're talking about recreating.
But the Russians and the Chinese have been taking animals and humans and mating them for years. There's documentaries out there that they've been taking horses and elephants and making them mate to come up with these weird, crazy. And then inside Chernobyl, who knows what the hell lives in there? I mean, there's animals with 16 heads. Seriously. So for people to sit there and say, I don't know, that's something that's we've never seen before, or, you know, we put it through our genetic tester and there's other, I believe there are some things out there because we're finding new species of things. But when we say new species, we're talking about like a bug the size of your fingernail. Like, that doesn't count. I'm like, if we want to find a new species of an elephant that's got four heads, then show me that. Show me something cool. But when you're showing me a new species of a spider in the Amazon, I could give a rat's ass because it's a spider. I mean, we already got spiders. Show me something real, something neat. You know, like a giraffe. Yeah,
I don't care about any of that
giraffe
stuff.
With four heads.
I don't
heads.
Care about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is if you look back at all this science fiction stuff, like some of the stuff is coming to fruition. I mean, it really is.
We gotta be careful. Because we're messing with God stuff, right? We're messing with God's creations. We're bringing things to power and to light. And the second thing is, I mean, I get Jurassic Park because I think, first of all, I think it'd be killer to see these things. I think it'd be fun to study them. I do think we could learn something from bringing dinosaurs back. And it's a moneymaker. It all comes down to the mighty dollar, right? It's kind of like if you could actually bring back King Kong, would you bring King Kong back? I mean, the main purpose, 1,000%, would be the money. It would kill. People would come from miles away to see this monkey. Right.
Well, people will go see those stupid movies still. So, well, yeah, of course they're going to.
Would it be? Yeah, and the Godzilla King Kong movie. I don't see how they're making another movie. I just can't be any good because the last one just wasn't that good. But you have to wonder yourself. Okay, let's take this. Let's take this mammoth, this woolly mammoth. Why are we bringing it back? Are we bringing it back because we can? Which could be reason enough. Are we bringing it back because people will pay to see it and it's a moneymaker? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going cross country to see a wool mammoth. I'm not. I mean, how many miles would you travel one way in a car to go see a woolly mammoth? 1,000 miles?
I might.
You're a veterinarian. No. You probably go a little while. You drive.
I wouldn't.
You drive cross country to see a woolly mammoth, wouldn't you?
I would drive to the zoo. I would drive to the Birmingham Zoo.
Like 300 miles to see it. You wouldn't drive to Louisville, Kentucky to see a woolly mammoth?
No, not a chance.
Really? As an animal lover?
We'll get one to a fish show and then I'll go.
Oh, that'd be pretty awesome. No, seriously, in an Alabama football game, could you imagine if a woolly mammoth came out? Like in 2030,
that's about as far as I would drive.
2037, they got Eli Gold buried in the end zone. You know, he's... And Alabama's won like 17 more championships. They bring a woolly mammoth out at the beginning of the Vanderbilt game. That'd be awesome.
You know what that woolly mammoth is, though? It's a cover band. It's not the real woolly mammoth.
No,
it's the woolly mammoth that we recreated with some DNA. It's, you know, it's not the real journey.
It's Wolfgang Van Halen, dude. It's just Woolly Mammoth. That's the name of his album. And I think that's one of the reasons they're like, you know, this is cool and all. I don't know why we're spending millions and millions of dollars. I hope we're not getting research dollars to spend on making a woolly mammoth because I want to know why we're doing this. I understand spending $1 million to hire a group of people to listen to railroad tracks to find out how far away a train is by sticking your ear to it. I get that. But I don't understand why we bring back a woolly mammoth because we have to take care of it. Are we going to bring back something and just kill it off again? Because it's going to go extinct in a year or two if we don't take care of it. So we're going to have to give you, and we're bringing it into a world. Let's be honest, Rab, this world sucks. The climate around here, the environment.
It'd be a lot better if we had some woolly mammoths, though. We have to have two. You got to bring back two.
Between goals.
Seriously.
Have to bring back two. They have to mate. You have to make them mate because you're bringing back something that's going to be dead in 3 or 4 years, assuming it doesn't get some strange disease or something that the woolly mammoth gets and we don't even aware of. You'd have to bring back, it's like if you're going to go ahead and bring back wolves and put them in Yellowstone, you got to bring them back healthy enough to hold on to them for years. So you'd have to have this woolly mammoth in a cage for like 10 or 15 years before you realize it could be self- And then where would you let that thing go?
Hey, but here's the other thing to think about. So with years and years, I mean, not even years, but we're talking like millennia in some cases, these animals have been around and they have had their immune system challenged and they're immune to a lot of viruses and bacteria, or maybe if not immune, their immune system is strong enough to fight it off. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to bring a woolly mammoth, you know, into the world. Who has an immune system that has never been challenged at all. I mean, that thing's probably going to be dead within 3 months.
Okay. Do you think it'd be dead or do you think it would be susceptible to being super dog? being super elephant. I mean, to the point where
I think that its immune system would be.
I'm telling you,
terrible.
Let's remember who started this whole show. God is pretty special, and God has a sense of humor. And life, we have said this for years and years and years, and we'll say it for years and years and years. Life is cyclical. It even happened with the great flood, right? When
sure.
He said, Noah, go get all the animals. I'm starting over again. Life is cyclical, right? So if you're a believer that Jesus is coming back, and you and I certainly believe that, life is cyclical again. This earth somehow will be wiped clean and we're going to start over again. I mean, it's in the Bible, right? And so
I wonder,
and I'm thinking, it's not going to be bombs. It's going to be natural. Don't you think it's going to be natural? Because we killed the natural part. And so the natural part will take it back over again. And I'm telling you, it's some stupid, like a woolly mammoth out of the permafrost, because there's no telling what kind of nasty. We just had this COVID thing that killed over 1.1 million people that came from a stinking bat in a Chinese lab. Don't tell me that animals ain't going to come back to take it away from us. I'm just telling you, cyclically speaking, the world's going to end because of some weird, strange, bubonic, woolly mammoth plague. You watch. You watch.
Hey, listen, I don't disagree with you. I also wonder that the next time the world is wiped out, if it's not wiped out permanently.
Yeah. World without end. Amen. I mean, it's going to go down the way he wants to go down. And you and I will not be here. All right, listen, if Jesus wants to come back tomorrow, I welcome him with open arms. Come on.
We could be here. We could be here.
I hope I am here when he comes back, because I know where I'm going.
Yeah. I want to see the fireworks.
That'd be pretty awesome. I want to hear the seven trumpets.
Yeah. Man on the white horse. It's Jesus.
Pretty amazing, isn't it? It's going to be a pretty, you want to talk about a fish show, man. And we're going to know it within a millisecond. We're going to know it's happening, and everybody in the world's going to get the message at the same time. That's pretty cool, man. It's going to be pretty awesome.
That's going to be like, I mean, obviously that's like nothing you've ever seen.
It will be better than the ending of the Kiss concert. It'll be smoking smoking flames, and Jesus will come out. It's gonna be awesome, dude. Yeah, it's for people like us. People are like listening, going, "You're sick, dude. That sounds like horrible." No, we know where we're going. We're good. Dr. Rab and I are like, exactly, bring it on. This is gonna be a great show. We'll be up there with our big ladders going, "Encore, encore! Give us another one. We'll hear another one." All right. Tell people where to find you and what's going on in the animal world. As you know, it's gotten a little chilly and now it's going to warm back up again. We're going to be having some shows. People always asking shows about warm. We got into snakes last week. We talked about the warm weather and how it's going to affect things. And certainly, I do want to ask you this. And I was looking through some of the emails. The emails weren't really good this week, but we always get, flea emails this time of year. Shoot us straight. Do we have more fleas when it gets warmer? We don't hear about any fleas in the wintertime. We just don't. But you hear about fleas all the time in the spring and summertime. Are there more fleas when they come out? Do they come out of the ground? Where the hell are these things coming from? And are they, because I know a lot of people don't give their animals any flea powder or anything until it gets warm enough to where they feel like fleas. They don't think fleas exist in cold weather. True or not?
In this area, we see fleas year round. Now, there are probably certain times of year you see more fleas, probably going to see more fleas during the warmer months, but I'm not blowing smoke. We see pets with fleas in this building 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
It just does not get cold enough for long enough, to keep fleas and ticks from being active for a long period of time. So, they're outside. The way that they live though is they live on wildlife. So if your cat spends a lot of time outside, then you're more prone to having those fleas and ticks. So if your dog or cat
question, yeah, is, go ahead. How big of a Revecto pill do I need for my woolly mammoth? My pet woolly mammoth. How big of a Revecto pill? Will it be like a pill like the size of my head? I mean, will it just, and how big will that thing be for fleas for your woolly mammoth? We're going to pet woolly mammoths in 2045.
Well, I think the most, probably the biggest question for your woolly mammoth is, where is it going to sleep at night? Because you can't let your woolly mammoth sleep outside. It'll go extinct.
I mean, you have to do that. We don't need to be, but if we're bringing back animals, we need to bring back smaller animals that don't take up so much space. We already got golf courses and funeral homes taking up most of the land. We don't need any more areas where we're going to have to sanction off like a million acres for a couple of woolly mammoths because we're afraid one's going to die or get a hair caught in the throat.
If Fred Flintstone can manage them, we can figure it out.
Yeah, but those woolly mammoths weren't actual size. Like they weren't not, like those were like, you know, like Dina was a dinosaur, but Dina was the size of a dog. He was a dog.
Okay, so now we're talking. Okay, so let's fast forward. 1,000 years from now. So just like dogs, we breed them down to the smallest possible size we can get them.
Yeah.
So we'll have a woolly mammoth in 10 years. So in another, not even 1,000, and like 100 years after that, we will have pocket woolly mammoths.
That would be pretty cool. We just talked about miniature pigs. Now that would be kind of cool. If you had like a woolly mammoth the size of a hamster, now I would get that.
Yeah, they don't call them woolly. They call them wussy yeah. mammoths.
They're well, like, and if you can do that and bring back the woolly mammoth, that would make you wonder, then why can't we raise these things just for their tusks and do away with the whole tusk thing? People wouldn't have to kill all the elephants and the bull elephants as we have now if we just raise the animal just for the tusk. Well, someone needs to figure out something where you could just screw those things off. You know, and just screw them back on. And that way you just don't have to worry about killing the animal itself with the tusk. And then because
why can't we, let's make them regenerate. Let's make them regenerate, cut them off.
And what other things in any animal world regenerate? Lizard tails?
Starfish regenerate.
Lizard tails?
Your liver regenerates.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No, not this liver. This liver gave it up in 1984. He's like, I'm good. All right. Give me your phone number and how people can find you, man.
208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, and you can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
Show's brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Fantastic store. Open up in October. Seth and his crew do a fantastic work. They have comic books and unopened toys and stuff in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you name it. If you found some stuff in the attic, they buy, sell, or trade. And, of course, also that wonderful store called Ed's Pet World down there in beautiful Homewood. Been open nearly 50 years. Love that place. I get all my exotic pets down there. Check out Ed's Pet World. Thank you, brother. We'll talk next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.